Welcome to a very strange edition of Sideline Judgment. As you can tell from our two-part episode, Tyler and I are not together this week. We've had a conflict of schedules. Life just gets in the way. I promise you it is not because we lost, but we are both giving our opinions on certain topics, and then you guys will be listening to them back in two different parts. So we're going to go ahead and start off with my section of the show. I want to talk about the college football playoff rankings. They came out, the first edition came out this past Tuesday, and no surprises here. We have Alabama at number one, Clemson number two, and the surprises come in here where LSU is ranked third, and Notre Dame rounds out the top four. The first two teams out are the University of Michigan at five and the University of Georgia coming in at six. The top 10 also looks a little bit looks pretty tough. You got Oklahoma seven, Washington State, well-deserved in my opinion, at eight, Kentucky 7-1, number 9 in the country in the college football playoff rankings, playing a de facto SEC East championship game this Saturday against Georgia. But we'll talk about that in a bit later. And then rounding out the top 10, you have Ohio State. Big news as well. Florida coming in at number 11, the highest ranked two-loss team in this playoff ranking. And UCF coming in number 12, the undefeated UCF Knights. And at the time of recording, UCF is actually 8-0. They beat Temple last night 52-40. But yeah, UCF 12-0. There's outrage and complaints from the UCF delegation. But I don't know. I feel like they have a significant shot to make a New Year's Six Bowl if they go undefeated. And they're going to need a lot, and I mean a lot of help, if they even want to be considered for a top four spot. No disrespect. I had a great conversation with my stepdad Raul this week about how we want to expand playoffs, but we got to deal with what we have in front of us. We have this system until at least 2026. So I always want to see things improve, but it is what it is as of right now. So again, Florida at 11, UCF at 12, now 8-0. Florida, the highest ranked two-loss team. Your top four are Alabama, Clemson, LSU, and Notre Dame. Moving forward, let's go ahead and give a little talk about Florida-Georgia. The score made this game look worse than what it seemed. And let me tell you why. Because in the first three quarters, Florida and Georgia were competitive on each other. There were defensive stands, specifically the 7-play defensive stop on the goal line from the Florida defense to prevent a touchdown and instead force a field goal was outstanding. Jabari Zuniga, as we all know, is going to be a Sunday player, but I think this game solidified that he's probably going to be declaring after the draft or for the draft after this season, as he should as well. I think C.J. Henderson going down in the first half was enormous, not to mention Marco Wilson out with an ACL tear as of earlier this year in the Kentucky game. And if you look at both games that we've lost this year, at home against Kentucky and neutral site against in Jacksonville against Georgia, we had a star corner go out for the season. Before the season, we talked about how this could be, I made a prediction, I said this is going to be the best secondary in the SEC, or best cornerback duo in the SEC with C.J. Henderson on one side, Marco Wilson on the other. It reminded me of Tease Tabor and Quincy Wilson, and more reminded me of the 2015 year where we had Vernon Hargraves and Jalen Tabor starting on opposite sides, but you also had Quincy Wilson coming off the bench in his in their freshman year. So to me, it was very reminiscent of that. If we don't have our secondary hurt, then Georgia can't throw all over us in the fourth quarter and take off. I truly believe that if we had them, then it would have been a different game. But alas, the football gods are cruel sometimes. They giveth and they taketh away. So that's ended up happening. Offensively, Felipe Franks, when he was good, he was good. Like he was throwing the ball properly. He was reading defenses properly. But when he was bad, he was bad. He looked like a Brock Osweiler in his Texans year. Like it looked really bad out there when he was bad. Emory Jones came in for a few plays, made an impact. And I know a lot of people, my friends included, are saying that Emory Jones deserves to be the starting quarterback. And I truly believe that he's not ready yet to take over the mantle entirely. I think this is his second game that he's played in, I believe, which means that he has two more games before they have to make a decision if they don't want to redshirt him. And at this point of the season, we have no shot of making the SEC championship game. We have no shot of winning the East. Don't waste his eligibility. Let him, if you want to play him maybe for some packages in the FSU game and maybe have him get some reps against the FCS team in Cupcake Week, then I understand that. Or maybe even if you want to not play him in one of those games and the fourth game be the bowl game just to kind of mix things up. You know, maybe we'll be in a New Year's Six game, hopefully. So we'll see what happens on that front. But yeah, that's basically all I have from Florida, Georgia. And yeah, congrats to Georgia. They enter a de facto SEC East Championship game against Kentucky this week. We'll talk about that in a bit. But I truly believe that if CJ Henderson didn't go down, we would not be down to our last string cornerbacks, and we would have been able to be in this game much closer. If you told me at the beginning of the year that after the Georgia week we would be 6-2 and Dan Mullen would have this team looking different and Felipe Franks would look like a competent game manager, I would have taken it. So not too bad. You have to kind of go backwards and look at this as a whole to understand that this season at the end will be a success if we continue to go on the right path, and we can't just hit the panic button at all just yet. I have no qualms. I expected this. Just going to keep pushing. Let's move on to our homecoming game. We're playing Missouri. Offensively, I feel like the key to the game, we just got to run the football. If we run the football properly, if we give the ball to Michael Pirine, if we give the ball to Jordan Scarlett, and we allow them to just run the football properly. The offensive line looked really good at times in the Georgia game. It's all about consistency. This line has improved and improved and improved and improved throughout the entire season. So I'm not too worried about their ability to play properly and to be a good offense. Defensively, we got to just make sure that we contain Drew Locke. Our pass rush is going to be key. CC Jefferson, Jabari Zuniga, Ja'Kai Polite, they got to pressure the quarterback. Drew Locke is going to go down as an all-time SEC quarterback when his year is done. And we got to make sure that we prevent him from getting too much time to pass. And if we do end up giving him time to pass, our secondary needs to make sure that it gets more reps. You know, I don't know the extent of CJ Henderson's injury. If he is back, I don't think I'm getting word right now. CJ Henderson will be playing on Saturday. Thank you to the Sideline Judgment Stats Department. I appreciate it. So CJ Henderson will be playing. So that should bring back some more normalcy to the secondary. But, you know, if he, God forbid, knock on wood, he re-injures anything, then we got to be able to step up into that. So that's basically my defensive key to the game. Pass rush, tighten up in the secondary. Offensively, we got to run the football, and we have to make sure that we keep time possession, keep Drew Locke off the field. My prediction, this Missouri team has a good, as we've talked about, has a good pass rush. This Missouri team defensively is not as strong as I like to think. I think we will win. It's a homecoming game, 4 o'clock kickoff, which is one of my favorite times because you get during the day for the first half, you get the sunset, and then you can end the game underneath the lights in the swamp. I looked at Florida football's Twitter today, this morning, and it turns out our end zones are orange. We have orange end zones, and I feel like that's just something that should be pointed out. Prediction for this football game, I'm going to go with Florida over Missouri. I think it's going to be, at the end of the day, probably a 35-17. I'll go 35-17. Drew Locke has enough of an arm that he could do damage on us. But I truly believe that we can go ahead and get in there. Actually, you know what? Let's go 38. I want to give my boy Evan McPherson a field goal because I love that boy. Best kicker in the SEC. Still has yet to miss a kick this entire year. And as we've stated previously in the podcast, the miss against Kentucky was not a miss. The referees did not get it properly. That is my prediction for the Florida game. 38-17 Florida. Now let's move on to some national games. National games to look at. We have Texas A&M going against Auburn. Key to this game, Texas A&M just got to hold on to the football in terms of time of possession. A Jimbo Fisher offense is one that likes to stay on the field, and if they can do that, then they will win. I'm taking Texas A&M. I also don't trust Auburn. As we've seen in weeks prior, Auburn is just not as good of a football team as we thought they were at the beginning of the year, which once again, and I say this every week, how did Washington lose to Auburn? I don't understand it. The SEC East Championship game, as I'm calling it, Georgia, Kentucky. Oh boy. Oh child. Oh boy. Things are going to get easier. Georgia's going to win this football game. I like Kentucky this year. I think they're having a great year. They're having one of the best years in history. But last week, it took a basically miracle game-winning drive against Vanderbilt I'm sorry, against Missouri, for Kentucky to come back and win the football game. Georgia's not going to let that happen. Jake Fromm is going to throw all over them. Kentucky prides itself on being a physical football team, and I feel like Georgia's just going to go out. They see blood, and they are sharks in the water. They see blood. This game may start close, but in the second half will not end close. I'm going to go with Georgia over Kentucky to represent the East in Atlanta. West Virginia, Texas. Oof, we got Will Grier going up against who we thought was back, Texas, who ended up losing a game that they got outplayed by Oklahoma State, a team that isn't really – is just a middle-of-the-pack Big 12 team. This Texas secondary is not playing well at all. And West Virginia, as we know, can score at will. They have a Heisman candidate in Will Grier. You know, my boy Will Grier, you all know how I feel about him. And they have one of the best wide receiving cores in the country. I'm going to go with West Virginia, and I truly believe that I let me put it this way. I hope Texas wins because I want to see an Oklahoma-Texas Big 12 championship game. I would love to see a Red River rematch, but I think West Virginia is going to go in and beat them, and it's going to be through the air. Give me West Virginia over Texas. FSU, North Carolina State. North Carolina State's good. FSU's not. I'm going to go North Carolina State. This pass rush is going to manhandle this offensive line. Poor DeAndre Francois. I hope he remains in one piece after this football game. Give me NC State. Penn State, Michigan. This Michigan team is getting better and better and better with each week that goes. That opening week, that opening loss to Notre Dame, first of all, is looking like a better loss week. Every week that Notre Dame wins, it looks like a much better loss. Secondly, this Penn State team, I say it every week, they play to the level of their competition, and this is the week that it's going to come back to bite them in the butt, because Michigan is getting better. Shea Patterson is getting more familiar. This defense is establishing itself. I got Michigan over Penn State. The only way Penn State I feel like can win is if Trey McSorley has a Heisman-defining game, meaning a game that when we talk about the Heisman race, when he if he makes it as a finalist, they say, oh, yeah, but that game against Michigan. And I don't think that can happen simply because I don't trust the Penn State defense, and I don't trust I'm going to be honest. I like John Franklin, but I don't trust him going up against Jim Harbaugh, especially in the Big House. Give me Michigan at home against Penn State. Boston College, Virginia Tech. Boston College finally has their star running back, A.J. Dillon, back. Also star of my fantasy team, A.J. Dillon, is finally back. Give me Boston College over Virginia Tech. This Virginia Tech team is being mediocre. And Boston College looking like it may have a shot to contend for an ACC championship. They won't because, you know, Clemson, but just saying, you know, a good year for their standards. Notre Dame, Northwestern. This to me is a trap game. Northwestern has played very competitive in their past four or five games. And Notre Dame to me, yes, with Ian Book, they have looked like a much better football team and a much better offense, but they got to travel on the road. And I don't really trust Notre Dame. I don't. I'm sorry. I look at them. I trust Ian Book, but I don't really trust their skill players are kind of mediocre. Ian Book is making them look better than they are. And this defense will allow teams to do as they please. Their only statement wins were against Virginia Tech, who turns out is not as good as we thought they were, and Michigan, which, granted, a competitive game and they won it. Give me, with all that said and done, give me Northwestern. I'm going to take Northwestern over Notre Dame. Let's shake up the top four. Let's cause some mayhem. I'm all for narrative. The big game of the week, Alabama, LSU, number one versus number three in Death Valley. Game day is there. SEC Nation is there. It is the 8 o'clock game on CBS. 8 o'clock game on CBS. Listen, Tua is playing the fourth quarter. And if Tua is playing the fourth quarter, it's over. It's a wrap. LSU, second loss of the season. I do not think that Joe Burrow can compete on the same level as Tua. And if this game is how I think it will end up, because the Alabama defense has slipped up at times. Let's not forget that the Alabama defense let Arkansas score over 20 points. Let's not forget about that. This game can have points. I don't think it'll end up 9-3 in overtime like it did in 2011. But I see Alabama winning this football game. I see Alabama, Nick Saban. Let me put it this way. Tua going up against Joe Burrow, give me Tua. Nick Saban going against Coach O, give me Nick Saban. The Alabama defense going up against the skill position players of LSU, give me the Alabama defense. It'll it'll be competitive for some time. I think Alabama pulls away late. Give me Alabama, LSU dropping out of the top four, and Tua is just declared the second coming of Jesus Christ himself. Next up, Oklahoma, Texas Tech, a very hot Texas Tech team. Texas Tech team that has scored, I think, over 30 points, or with the exception of the TCU game, has scored over 30 points in almost every one of their games. Telling you, the Big 12 is not about defenses, it's about offenses. Which team can score more, which team can score more at will. Kyler Murray, I think, for the narrative, should win the Heisman. It'll be Tua because he is clearly the best player in college football. But I would love to see Kyler Murray win the Heisman. Give me Oklahoma. Have them go up. I want to see them win the Big 12 and make it into the playoff, sneak in, especially with that LSU loss that I'm predicting, and especially with that Notre Dame loss that I'm predicting. I think they can go from 7 into the top 4 with a decisive victory. Them and Georgia, I think, will round out the top 4 after LSU and Notre Dame lose, in my opinion. So we got Cal, Washington State. Give me Washington State. Cal's been hot past couple weeks, but give me Washington State. I love that narrative. I want to see them in the playoff. I want to see them win the Pac-12. I want to see other things happen, and I want to see Washington State in the playoff, especially for the narrative. We know the struggles that team has had. We know that they're all rallying around their late quarterback from the offseason. Give me Washington State. Push Pullman. I'm pulling for you, Pullman. I'm pulling for you. And I'm going to end it with a very emotional game, FAU versus FIU, the Shula Bowl. This one's for my stepdad, Raul, friend of the pod. Give me FAU. I never vote against the FAU. For a little bit of history, they call it the Shula Bowl because at the time, the first two coaches in their program's history were one-time assistants under Don Shula with the Miami Dolphins for the 1972 undefeated team. So they call it the Shula Bowl. This game has been played at Dolphin Stadium. This game has been played all different types of places. It is in FIU Stadium in Miami. FIU currently sitting on top of the Conference USA of their division. It would be wonderful for FAU to play spoilers. Not the season they hoped for, but you know, if you can beat your rival, then it can make up for a whole lot of things. So give me FAU, go Owls. And let me end this with my moment of the week. What can I go with? It's got to be last week when the Boston Red Sox won the World Series. I watched the entirety of that 18-inning, 7.5-hour marathon of a game. I then watched the next night. It felt like 4 hours afterwards. And I saw the next game, and it was wonderful. I believed in you, David Price. Let's establish that. I believed in you, and I appreciate it. So go Sox. World Series champions, and that is my official moment of the week. Thank you all so much for putting up with me for these 18 minutes. I hope that you enjoyed Tyler's portion as well. And yeah, as always, we are not biased, but go Gators.
Thank you very much, Sergio. Thank you for your part of the episode. It is my turn now. Sorry, everybody, once again, for the weirdness of this episode. But, you know, this is not the normal thing, but we'll make do. I am currently recording in my car, so let's see how this works. So, Sergio mentioned the first college football playoff rankings. Very interesting to me. I have no issue with any of the rankings. One of the things I always try to remind people when these come out is as interesting as they are, to not get too caught up in it, because it all sorts itself out. Just this week we have a top 10 matchup and a top 5 matchup in Alabama, LSU, and then Kentucky, Georgia. So I don't really think that anybody should get too caught up, because these things will figure themselves out. There won't be a million one loss and a million undefeated teams left in the end of the season, so it'll get figured out. I have no issue with any of the rankings at the moment. I thought it was interesting that LSU was ranked ahead of Notre Dame, but I can see it. Why? Because Notre Dame's schedule is just not that great so far. And LSU has played a tougher one and done well, but they do have a loss. So it's tough to evaluate that. Again, I think it all gets figured out. Moving on, Florida-Georgia. I was at that game. actually, it was a fantastic day in Jacksonville. I got to go home, got to see everybody. I went to College Game Day. If any of you checked on the Twitters or online, you could see me and friend of the pod, poor Bucks fan Tyler Renfro, in his all neon attire with our signs to always plug in the pod. They said, we're not biased, but go Gators. So I had a great time in Jacksonville. Got to see a bunch of friends and family. The game was actually very fun and competitive to be at. Once again, not the outcome you'd want. A little disappointed in the turnover issues. That was the one thing that couldn't happen if Florida wanted to stay in the game. And that is the one thing that did happen that kept Florida out of it ultimately. Put them in a bit of a hole. They kind of overcame it. But I think that Florida, if not for some of those miscues, is able to really have a better footing going into the fourth quarter and possibly make some plays. Again, the injury to CJ Henderson was a huge part, but it didn't really affect Florida until the fourth quarter, until the end of the first half, when Georgia was kind of like, okay, let's throw the ball. They realized that, oh, Florida can't defend with the Georgia's 1 and 2 receivers are better than Florida's 3 and 4 corners, which is true. And that happens, that you got to play the game. Florida was competitive until the fourth quarter. Final score is the final score. Georgia, again, is in year 3 under Kirby Smart and is in a good place. Florida's getting there. They're ahead of schedule. Very encouraged by what I saw in Jacksonville. But again, I this is what I expected. I was telling people asking about it, and I was like, everything has gone so right for Florida for about a month. It was due time that something happened to bring it back down. So good performance overall. It wasn't a great performance by the Florida Gators, even though I think that the coaching and the game plan was there. But it's just the fact that the game was a top 10 matchup is just incredible that Mullen had gotten there under year one. So excited to see how that goes moving forward. Moving on to Florida, Missouri, my takeaways. I think that this is a tough matchup for Florida. Missouri is 0-4 in the SEC, but they're not 0-4 caliber team. They've played some tough teams. They played Georgia and Alabama. They did lose to South Carolina though, and they did just lose to Kentucky after basically having the game won for most of it. And I think that is, not something that should be overlooked. And Missouri's got Drew Lock, and Missouri's got weapons, and Missouri can run the ball, and they don't give up sacks, mostly because that's the scheme that they play with. So the offense can move, but against the Florida defense, especially if the defense is banged up with C.J. Henderson still being injured, but still playing. But I go back to the Kentucky game. They had, I believe it was 8 straight 3-and-outs. Not just punting on the drives, 3-and-outs in the second half. They only scored 14 points against Kentucky, which, again, Kentucky's defense, very good. But still, not even be able to move the ball. So that thing, I think that Derek Dooley in his first year as the offensive coordinator, he's got a lot to work with generally, but they've not been able to make it as explosive as last year. So I'm not that worried. I think that the Florida defense gets back in track. It's going to be hard to pressure Drew Lock because of the way that they get the ball out so quick. But I think that if Florida can stop the run and just kind of force Missouri to do what they don't want to do, then that'll be the key. On offense for Florida, I think it is about running the ball. Missouri has done very well against stopping the run against teams like Georgia and Alabama that had their second lowest rushing yardage output in those games that they played Missouri. However, if you can set up the run, and I think Florida's offense is designed that running, there's a lot of versatility in the running game, so I think that will help. But Felipe's got a ball. This Missouri defense is terrible against the pass. I believe it ranks 124th out of 130 FBS teams in S&P Plus passing defense. Felipe's got to get his mojo back, and he's got to win, and that does bother me. But he's also got to cut down on turnovers. Florida cannot afford to beat themselves. That's one thing I said last week that they had to do for the Georgia game, and they didn't do it. They beat themselves. So if Florida wants to win this game, all the offense really I think has to do is not beat itself. I think that it can work. Special teams I think is a big deal here again, but I think just playing solid. I don't think you need spectacular plays out of special teams. I just think that you need solid plays. So my prediction, let's go. This is tough. Let's go 28-20. Actually, no, 28-16 Florida. I think that Florida does win. I'm worried about this game because the matchups are there, especially if CJ Henderson has to goes down and get injury again. The matchups are there, but Drew Lock has not been as good this year. He's not been able to take advantage of them as much. So I think that Florida can get it done, because I'm not a real big believer that Missouri's that great of a team, especially against the pass. Their defense is terrible. And if Gamelin can get Felipe to work to back to playing well, then that's a wrap. Gamelin has gone on to state that this has been a very physical, very good week of practice. So hopefully that comes into the game. So that's my prediction. Moving on to some of the national games. There was a great weekend of college football last weekend, and even an even bigger one this weekend. So Texas A&M Auburn. Texas A&M lost last week to Mississippi State, something I did not see coming. But Mississippi State just kind of ran all over them. Mississippi State ended the game on a huge 70-yard run by Nick Fitzgerald, but they were actually thrown all over. I don't think that Auburn can do that, because I think Jarrett Stidham has regressed, and I think that Auburn's just been too inconsistent. I think that Jimbo's not going to let this team lose two straight. So I think Texas A&M wins. Georgia versus Kentucky, the biggest football game in Kentucky football history at Kroger. I'm really pissed the college game day didn't go there. I really want Kentucky to win this game, because I think it'd be so cool for the narrative and so cool for just college sports in general and for their year and for that program, for Mark Stoops. They're not going to, though. Georgia's defense isn't, I think, even that elite, but it's gonna be able to do enough to shut down Terry Wilson. And Georgia's offense, if they learn how to open things up with all their five-star receivers and their really good quarterback, they're going to be so dangerous. And I think that Georgia's going to score a bunch of – well, Kentucky's defense is good, but Georgia's going to score points. And I think Georgia wins. I would love to see Kentucky win. It'd be very interesting to see if Kentucky win the East. Very interesting for the landscape of college football. But I think that Georgia wins this game. Moving on, West Virginia, Texas. This is a tough game. This is like a pick'em game for me, because West Virginia can score on anybody that's not named Iowa State. And Texas just came off a very embarrassing loss. Their only loss in league play. They're still, you know, they're still in the lead in the Big 12 standings. To Oklahoma State, who is a good team, but not a great team by any means. I think that Tom Herman has established a culture change at Texas. And I was hesitant on calling them back, but I'll say this. I don't think that they lose two in a row. Just like I said about Jimbo, I don't think they lose two in a row. And I think that they're, as much as I love Will Grier, he is that team. He is the West Virginia Mountaineers. They are the Will Grier Mountain. They're the West Virginia Will Greers. And I think that it's a lot to put on that one player. So I think Texas is going to win, because I think Tom Herman's got a culture there. They're not going to lose back-to-back. FSU versus NC State. Oh, Lord. FSU's going to lose. And coming off the, like, tied for worst home loss in program history against Clemson, 59-10. I don't think it'll be nearly as bad. I think FSU will play tough and will keep it kind of close. But I think the NC State ultimately wins. They're not a great team, but they're better than Florida State. Penn State versus Michigan. I think Michigan's going to win. Michigan doesn't play a pretty style, but they can run the ball. They've got balance. I think that they're slowly trying to get Shea Patterson to do things that work, which it's infuriating, because it's like they refuse to, like, actually open up the offense. But they're winning games. They've been playing well. They can run the ball. Penn State's defense is not what it used to be, and their offense is okay. I mean, it's good, but, like, it falters in big moments. I've been looking at it. So I think Michigan wins this game. Boston College, Virginia Tech. Give me Boston College. Sergio talked enough about this. I don't need to go over it. Notre Dame, Northwestern. Big game for Northwestern. Yes, big game for Notre Dame. It might not seem like it, but Northwestern is a tough team. They play very smart. They play hard. They cannot run the ball, which I don't think is a big deal really in this situation, because you probably wouldn't be able to anyway against Notre Dame's front. I think Notre Dame's going to slip up. I do vehemently believe that, but I don't think it's here. I think that in Evanston, which will probably have just as many Notre Dame fans as Wildcat fans. I think that Notre Dame will win. I think it'll be close, but I think it'll win. Northwestern has a shot, but eh. Alabama LSU, a night game in Death Valley, the best kind. Alabama's going to win this game. And it's, I mean, it's going to kind of be close. Like, the final score will not be close, in my opinion. But if you watch the game, you'll be like, LSU really gave it their all. And on talent-wise, they're almost at the same level. So it'll seem a lot tougher. It'll be a very physical game. But I do expect Alabama to win by a lot. It's kind of sad that, like, it's top five matchup, and I'm just so heavily favoring the other side. But that's just the reality of the situation. Moving on, Oklahoma-Texas Tech. It's funny because Baker Mayfield and Patrick Mahomes are playing each other in the NFL, like, the same weekend as their alma maters. In which case, you know, the reminder of that, like, 800-plus yard each, like, game that they had a couple years ago. But I think Oklahoma's going to win. Texas Tech, I think, is a good team this year, a legitimately good team. I think Cliff Kingsbury is coming along. He's figuring it out. He's got some good quarterbacks in there, especially in the freshman. But Kyler Murray, man, oh, that man can ball. So I think that Oklahoma will take it out. Cal versus Washington State. This is a rematch of Washington State entered this game undefeated last year off of beating USC and lost, about, I believe, 37-7-ish. A lot to a little. They lost a lot to a little. Cal's defense is good. Cal's defense is very good. Cal's offense is not that good. And I actually think this Washington State team is better than last year's team. I think that Gardner Minshew has really opened up the offense more than Luke Falk did. It's vertical now as well as horizontal. So I think that Washington State's going to win. Their defense not falling off a cliff after Alex French left has been one of the most amazing things to me. So I think Washington State wins. And last one that Sergio requested that we do for some reason, the Shula Bowl, FAU versus FIU. I'm going to be contrarian here and, like, just piss off a couple people. But also, I think it makes sense. FIU, I think, is going to win because they have been the better team this year. Yeah, it's as simple as that. I think FAU has played a really tough schedule. And Lane Kiffin is a good coach, and he'll get it figured out. I do believe that. But I think FIU is the better team this year, and FIU is going to win. And my moment of the week. My moment of the week has to be Washington Capitals. I believe it was a preseason game for hockey. They were the Washington Capitals were exiting the ice and going back to the locker room. I believe after the game, and there was a small child with disabilities, I believe in a wheelchair, who was giving out fist bumps to every one of the players, which is already a touching moment. Then Alex Ovechkin, team captain, very famous, comes up at the very end. And not only gives him a fist bump, but also gives him his glove and gives him his hockey stick. Just for that kid to have that, for that moment to exist, I love those things in sports. It's just nice to see. So that really warmed my heart. That was a big moment of the week for me. But yeah, those are our big. That's all my predictions. I think that this is gonna be a huge week for college football. Very excited. Very wish we would have been able to do a normal episode, but. Here we are. At least we got you guys something. But tune in for us next week. We'll try and get back on our normal schedule. But lest you forget, we are not biased. But go Gators.